Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be
there. All right, welcome back. Lots to talk about today, as usual. Bills moves, Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami, a new report that Antonio Brown is on some team's radar, namely the Seahawks, according to Adam Schefter. We'll talk later about why this is worded that way, but that's something to keep an eye on. His suspension ends in 2 weeks. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, joined now by Austin Gale of Pro Football Focus. Austin, appreciate you coming back on with us. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So here are the Bills at 4-2, looking great and then looking less great. I remember reading that you were, like a lot of us, like really impressed after 4 weeks, and really it's the roster and execution, everything was looking good. How do you feel about them 2 weeks later?
I think, Josh Allen has obviously regressed a little bit back to the mean. I still think he's performing well above expectation compared to the previous year. But this offense overall was bound for some regression. We've never seen a third-year quarterback get off to the four-game start that Josh Allen did after such, underwhelming play in years one and two. Like, literally never seen it. We did an analysis of how many quarterbacks in their third year improved their grade to the point that Josh Allen did. And the only one that came close was Bob Greasy, like, back in the day, from an EPA per play perspective. Like, there isn't a long list of quarterbacks that improved to the point from an efficiency standpoint that Josh Allen did through the first four games. So you knew he was bound for some regression. I still think he's playing above average at position. I think you've also seen some injuries at the receiver position, obviously John Brown battling injuries, and they've gone against good football teams. Let's call it what it is. The Buffalo Bills have played some good football teams over the past 2 weeks, and they have obviously came up short.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you were someone, Austin, forgive me if I don't recall, I know you were on with us talking about Allen and this improvement, and I might have even asked you if it seemed at all fluky to you, and I remember the answer was no, it's not fluky, but that there was the prediction that, we should be braced for some, some fallback. So what has changed? I mean, you mentioned the opponents. And really the style of defense, we've seen a lot of two deep safety zone looks for the Bills, and Allen seems to be frustrated by that. Like, what's the way forward for them, you think?
I think they do want to be more two-dimensional. They're not, you saw that quote today, I think, talking about their run, want to get better on the ground. They're using a complement of Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. But I think the bottom line is that Josh Allen has missed some open throws over the past 2 weeks, and you can blame the rain against Kansas City, but you have to get back to being more accurate with the football, taking advantage of the open throws that Brian Daboll's system provides. And I think they are going to have to put up a ton of points to win in today's NFL. The best teams in the NFL right now are scoring with reckless abandon. The Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bucks, the Seahawks, even the Packers, even though they coming off a 10-point outing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the Buffalo Bills, you extend some of this regression, but in getting back on track and back to closer to what Josh Allen was doing starts with running the football more effectively and hitting those open throws that Brian Daboll's team provides.
With Austin Gale of PFF, one thing we've been talking about since Monday night is that from Sean McDermott's comments after this game, Austin, that the Bills looked at it as we just don't want to get beat through the air. And Bulldog and I have disagreed somewhat on that. I support it. I feel like that makes sense. And here were the Chiefs at the end of the game with 26 points. Like, I can live with that. It needed much more for my offense, or at least more. So how about that? Like, you're talking about how teams are scoring. Kansas City is obviously, like, that team. Do you think that how the Bills approached that game made sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Buffalo Bills still have a very good defense in the NFL right now. I think they're not performing at expectation right now, ranked 30th in EPA per play allowed so far. But I think going against Kansas City Chiefs, you want to limit the big play. Everyone talks about how do you stop Patrick Mahomes. It's limiting the big play, forcing him to beat you with a million paper cuts rather than a handful of explosive plays for Tyreek Hill and company, Nicole Hardman included. I think the Chiefs are going to continue to see a ton of too high safety looks. And yes, they got beat down a bit in the run game, but I also think the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line rose to the occasion against the Buffalo Bills, really imposed their will in that game. I had seen a more dominant offensive line performance in quite some time. And you can't solely blame that on playing more conservative and playing more too high safety. The defensive line got flat out bullied in the trenches, and linebackers were struggling to spill and fill. And it's because Andretti, Ryder, these guys up front were playing really, or Kilgore rather, playing really good football in the trenches, and sometimes just get outmatched.
Yeah, the crazy thing about that, at least one crazy thing about that, is that that line was kind of a makeshift, right? I mean, there were injuries, and then there was an injury early, and you know, you would have thought that that would play to your advantage if you're daring a team to run, but instead, yeah, I mean, just across the board, I read today that the Bills have more money invested in their defensive line overall, that's depth players including starters too, than any team in the league, and to get bullied, like you said, to use your word, it's got to be tough to take.
No, 100%, and I think they did not get plus play out of their interior defensive line there. Ed Oliver had a ton of hustle plays, but was still getting manhandled by interior offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought their tackles played well as well. Mitchell Fortune of leaving that game with an injury, but still had guys come in and play top football. And when you're getting beat down in the trenches like they were against the Kansas City Chiefs, giving Clyde Edwards-Helaire wide open lanes to run the football, it's that much harder to beat Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs. But when you do invite the run like they did, I think that is a big reason why they only allowed 26 points to the Kansas City Chiefs. Because if you are stout up front and you do stuff Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you only open up a can of worms that is Patrick Mahomes trying to push the ball downfield, where you saw even in that loss against the Las Vegas Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs put up 32 points, nearly beating the Las Vegas Raiders after in a comeback effort. So I do think the Buffalo Bills, I would less focus on the defense. You have to put up more points than they did to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't care how bad your defense is fully. You have to put up more points. And in that game, the rain affected both quarterbacks, but obviously it affected Josh Allen a bit more.
Need to score more than 17 against almost everybody these days, right? Austin Gale with us from PFF. So how do you look at the big picture of the AFC now with Kansas City back, if you want? I mean, if they ever went away, winning Monday after losing to the Raiders, Baltimore at 5-1. They're very interesting because they look like they don't have it right yet, but they're still scoring like crazy and winning. You have the Steelers and the Titans who have yet to lose. They play this week. Cleveland even. Miami even. And, of course, the Patriots as well. So what do you want to do with the Bills in that sort of context?
Yeah, right now, according to PFF's latest power rankings, we have the Buffalo Bills at 13th among all NFL teams. I think near 5th in the AFC. Right now we have the Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore Ravens, Tennessee Titans, Steelers, then the Patriots, and then the Buffalo Bills in the AFC. And the Patriots are interesting because I think the market is fading the Patriots after what was a really surprising loss to the Denver Broncos. But I do think when they are putting their best football together on the offensive side of the ball with Cam Newton healthy and a healthy supporting cast, I think they are a team to beat in the AFC. I think between them and the Buffalo Bills is obviously that competition to go to the postseason. We get the Buffalo Bills a 69% chance to make the playoffs in our models. I like the Buffalo Bills in the AFC, but the bigger juggernaut in the NFL right now is in the NFC. I think some of the best teams in football are in the NFC. Bucks, Seahawks, Packers, like those three teams, you could even throw the Saints in that mix, are playing really, really good football right now. I think those are the teams that are down. The NFC West is arguably the best division in football right now, with Seattle, Los Angeles Rams and San Francisco all ranking in the top 10 in PFF's latest power rankings. It's a really interesting year for the NFL. I don't think you have a clear-cut juggernaut. The Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion, are the best team in the NFL, largely because they still trot out Patrick Mahomes. But it's not far away from the Ravens being, you know, besting them as the best team, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or some of these other teams. It's a very interesting competitive league in 2020.
What are the Patriots doing well that you have them that high despite being under 500?
Yeah, you know, the defense is still performing at a top, you know, top-notch level. They rank inside the top 10 in EPA allowed per play. And also, the offense, though it regressed a bit against Denver, I think when healthy, can be a good offense. We wrote a piece this week talking about with Cam Newton can kind of put this team on his back and carry what is a very bad supporting cast in Jameer Bird, Julian Edelman, N'Keal Harry. It's not a good receiving core, and they have no-name tight ends. But the offensive line is playing well. Isaiah Wynn is having one of the better offensive tackle seasons we've seen from a young player at his age. I'm excited about the offensive line and Cam Newton. And that defense, for as long as Bill Belichick's pulling the strings as a puppet master there, is going to be a top-10 unit. If Cam Newton can get back on track, obviously had the COVID misstep, get back on track with the supporting cast, maybe they're buyers at the trade deadline for a team that may, like A.J. Green or another receiver, I think this Patriots team can be a good one.
We've got a couple of interesting quarterback stories playing out in the AFC East, in addition to Josh Allen and Cam Newton, who are interesting themselves. But you have the Dolphins making their move, really interesting to talk about, going to Tua from Fitz. And then you have the Jets, and I don't know, I think they should just move Darnold if they can, because I don't think they do themselves any favors putting him back in value-wise. They're fast-tracking to the number one pick. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think I would do that, depending on there being a team that would want him for something. So let's start with the Dolphins. Of those two, Austin, do you support what they've done?
I think the Miami Dolphins is interesting, because when I first saw the move for Tua Tagovailoa to now be named starter in South Beach after the bye, I thought it was something that Ryan Fitzpatrick, the veteran, who's playing winning football there in Miami, was in full support of, something that he understood was the plan from the get-go. But then you see his statements today via the Zoom call with media talking about how he was blindsided by this, upset, his quote-unquote heart hurt all day, felt you know disrespected in a lot of ways. It upsets me. I think it could definitely flip the locker room a bit, because Ryan Fitzpatrick had this team in a position to compete for the division title, maybe make the playoffs in what is now a 7-team race in the AFC with that extra spot in the postseason. It's a bit concerning for me. I think they do want to see what Tua Tagovailoa brings to the table before they go into 2021. But I think a good example is Patrick Mahomes did only play one game in his rookie year, playing behind Alex Smith. Tua Tagovailoa is in a totally different situation, one that more supports him not playing this year, coming off that catastrophic injury. And when you have a quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick that has this team in contention, and you're getting healthy on the back end too, Byron Jones is going to come back from injury. You're going to see Xavier Howard's already back from injury. I think this Miami Dolphins team is an interesting spot. You hope you don't lose the locker room with a decision like this, because Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's a ton of players in the NFL that want to play for him. And as for the Jets, there's not much you can do with the New York Jets right now. I think moving Sam Darnold makes sense. Trading Quinnen Williams makes sense. Any valuable asset you think they have, Marcus May, moving on from those guys, acquiring draft capital, kind of restart here, makes most sense. The worst thing the Jets can do right now is win football games. Because if they get out of the Trevor Lawrence spot and have to take Justin Fields or Trey Lance, whoever it may be, it is a tier or even two tiers below what Trevor Lawrence brings to the table. I think they need to lock in, secure that number one overall pick, which is, I think, is a big reason why management hasn't fired Adam Gase already.
Do you think that there would be a market for Darnold at this time of the year?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a market for former first-round quarterbacks with ridiculous arm talent. I mean, that's what Sam Darnold is, and I think he's going to continue to be a valued quarterback in this league for as long as someone completely finds out he doesn't have it. I think it wouldn't be a first-round pick, but I think I would not be surprised for a team to swing the bat on a late second-rounder or even early third-rounder to bring Sam Darnold in at the trade deadline as a backup. Not as a starter, as a backup behind maybe a veteran or a piece that still has question marks, because Sam Darnold simply has too much talent to be cast away for a day three pick or whatever it may be. I think he sticks around in this league, and I think teams find value in his pick.
Yes, Darnold still only, what, 23? So you have some hope there. This might seem kind of random, but Austin, we're talking quarterbacks, and in the AFC, I'm wondering about Drew Lock at this point. they won the game in New England with him back, and that's without even scoring a touchdown. So that is what it is. Is there reason for optimism with him, or what is Denver doing? Like, should they be a team mentioned when you think about teams that need quarterbacks right now?
100%. Drew Locke has yet to prove that he is the answer there in Denver. And I think the box score did not look good against New England, but he turned in a better game than maybe his supporting cast allowed him to. Battled some drops, was under pressure a ton. But I think Drew Locke, you play him every game he's healthy this year to get an understanding of where you're at the quarterback position. And if you play your way into a top five, top 10 draft selection come April or May, you pull the trigger on a quarterback. Like, this is one of the best. The 2021 quarterback class is one of the best quarterback classes we've honestly seen in 5, 10-plus years. I mean, there was a ton of talent, obviously, at the top with Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. Even after that, though, you have other quarterbacks that are getting first-round conversation. Zach Wilson of BYU, Kyle Trask of Florida, Mac Jones of Alabama, Brock Purdy of Iowa State. There are a lot of quarterbacks in this upcoming class that I think are going to draw significant NFL interest. And for that reason, if you don't think you have your guy at the quarterback position, it's a have or have not leave. There is no in-between with the quarterback position in the NFL. If you do not have your guy, you're not confident you have him, you pull the trigger on one of these QBs in this draft.
Is Cleveland somebody who would be you were going to go there?
That's exactly where I was going next.
Yeah, yes. Like, that's right. Even a better question than Denver. Like, where is Cleveland at here on this?
The problem with Cleveland is that they're not going to be in a position, most likely. They play in a good division, but not a great one. I think they're going to be in a position where they're not going to have their hands on one of these big-name quarterbacks. They're going to be drafting outside maybe the top 10, top 15. And if they are, because, you know, they're going to be playing other teams, you know, this upcoming week I think is an easy win over the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to be in a position where they're in that purgatory, the worst spot you can be in the NFL when you're not a have at the quarterback position, because they're not going to be in a position to grab a top-flight quarterback in this class. They're going to maybe swing the bat on a second-round or third-round pick if they are, you know, 100% committed to Baker Mayfield. I think if you're looking to make a change at the quarterback position, you need to be drafting early, because doing what the Minnesota Vikings did with Kirk Cousins, what the Panthers did with Teddy Bridgewater, the list goes on and on. Adding quarterbacks, mid-tier quarterbacks in free agency just keeps you drafting in that 14 to 20 range, doing you no good in terms of actually upgrading at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Mayfield currently, Austin? Like, are you bad. Somewhat bullish, stay
very
the course,
bad.
Or
not,
very bad?
It's not good. Baker Mayfield looks like a completely different quarterback. I really do think he's struggling. I think even in ideal situations in Cleveland, they have the number one ranked offensive line, according to PFF, and pass blocking grade. They have one of the best receiving corps in the NFL with OBJ, Jarvis Landry, Rashard Higgins, Austin Hooper. They have a very good defense, and with Myles Garrett probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year this year. And Kevin Stefanski is one of the more underrated coaches in the NFL. It's on Baker right now. He ranks outside the top 20 in PFF grade through week 6, is struggling on standard dropbacks. It's not a pressure situation. If Kevin Stefanski doesn't boot Baker Mayfield out and create easy open throws on the move for him, he's a completely different quarterback, seeing ghosts, bailing out of clean pockets. I think his confidence is shot. Steve Palazzolo, an analyst here at PFF, former baseball player, is familiar with the yips. He thinks Baker Mayfield might even have the yips. Like, he just doesn't look the same, and that's obviously a huge concern for a quarterback that's in more commercials than he has touchdown passes.
There it is on that note. Plus, golfers know about yips. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Austin Gale of Pro Football Focus at PFF _ Austin Gale, Gayle.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.